Chapter 22, Six Faces. As I descended, more faces bubbled out of the muck, just as they always did when I was moving down into the realm of the earthworm's eye view. But there was something different about the faces this time. They were human now, not animal. And they were very clearly saying things. Not that I could make out what they were saying. It was a bit like the old Charlie Brown cartoons, when the adults speak and all you hear are indecipherable sounds. Later, upon looking back on it, I realized I could actually identify six of the faces that I saw. There was Sylvia, there was Holly and her sister Peggy, there was Scott Wade, and there was Susan Wrenches. Of these, the only one who was not actually physically present at my bedside in those final hours was Susan. But in her way, she had, of course, been by my bedside too, because that night, as the night before, she had sat down in her home in Chapel Hill and willed herself into my presence. Later, learning about this, I was puzzled that my mother Betty and my sisters, who had been there all week, holding my hand lovingly for endless hours, were absent from the faces I'd seen. Mom had been suffering from a stress fracture in her foot, using a walker to ambulate, but she had faithfully taken her turn in the vigil. Phyllis, Betsy, and Jean had all been there. Then I learned that they had not been present that final night. The faces I remembered were those who were physically there the seventh morning of my coma or the evening before. Again, though, at the time, as I made the descent, I had no names or identities to attach to any of these faces. I only knew or sensed that they were important to me in some way. One more in particular drew me toward it with special power. It began to tug at me, with a jolt that seemed to echo up and down the whole vast well of clouds and praying angelic beings through which I was descending. I suddenly realized that the beings of the gateway and the core, beings I had known and loved seemingly forever, were not the only beings I knew. I knew and loved beings down below me, too, down in the realm I was fast approaching, beings I had, until now, completely forgotten. This knowledge focused on all six faces, but in particular on the sixth one. It was so familiar. I realized with a feeling of shock, bordering on absolute fear, that whoever it was the face of someone who needed me, someone who would never recover if I left. If I abandoned it, the loss would be unbearable, like the feeling I'd gotten when the gates to heaven had closed. It would be a betrayal I simply couldn't commit. Up to that point, I had been free. I had journeyed through worlds in the way that adventurers most effectively can, without any real concern about their fate. The outcome didn't ultimately matter, because even when I was in the core, there was never any worry or guilt about letting anyone down. That had, of course, been one of the first things that I'd learned when I was with the girl on the butterfly wing, and she told me, "There is nothing you can do that is wrong." But now it was different. So different that for the first time in my entire voyage, I felt remarkable terror. It was a terror not for myself, but for these faces, in particular for that sixth face. A face that I still couldn't identify, but that I knew was crucially important to me. This face took on ever greater detail, until at last I saw that it, that he, was actually pleading for me to return, to risk the terrible descent into the world below to be with him again. I still could not understand his words, but somehow they conveyed that I had a stake in this world below, that I had, as they say, skin in the game. It mattered that I returned. I had ties here, ties that I had to honor. The clearer the face became, the more I realized this, and the closer I came to recognizing the face of a young boy.